Thank you, Lil. We appreciate you. Let's give her another hand. Applause. And also, Elsie Kelke, when you spoke today, I just heard the miraculous news of God doing a mighty work in your body, and we just thank God for that. And it was the Lord. And so his faithfulness is everywhere. It's everywhere today. What a great thing to meditate on. We're looking at in the scriptures in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 1 to 23. And we're talking about the parable of the sower and the seeds. Let's get our page number here. Page number 744 in your blue pew Bibles. Matthew 13, verses 1 to 23. Matthew, disciple of Jesus, writes this. He says, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, and their ears and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see. And your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. And this is the Lord's word for us tonight. We're in a season of new life. And so Easter is coming soon, Resurrection Weekend, very, very soon. And we're thankful to God for it. For the sake of the world, it's going to be a great time of worshiping the Lord and inviting people. I'm celebrating the obvious here with Sarah here. But, you know, how many gardeners do we have in the room? People who like to garden, people who have a green thumb, even if you're not good at it, but you like to do it. There's a different timeline for planting. And it's funny, I'm not very good with house plants, but I actually know a decent amount about outside plants. I worked in greenhouses, and I actually really enjoy the talking about these things. And generally, I think it's understood, at least in Ontario, that May Long Weekend is planting weekend. Is that the same here, roughly? General benchmark? Ontario is a little warmer, so maybe it's a bit different here. But I remember in Ontario, the greenhouses at May long weekend, Victoria Day, would be packed. And people would be flooding in, getting plants, getting perennials, getting shrubs and trees and all these things. And the business dies significantly in June and July and August because the frost is finally gone. And so as we're talking about a good harvest today, God is speaking in his word, you know, the parable of the sower and the seeds, this idea of soil and soil being likened to our hearts is something that Jesus uses really practical analogies to help us understand. And so, you know, as faithful as many of us have been, it's always good to evaluate how our hearts are as soil as we head into this season of life. And will our hearts continue to produce a good harvest? So 3 points tonight. 3 points. Number one, a good harvest responds to the work of the sower. A good harvest responds to the work of the sower. So Matthew writes in chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside a lake, and a large crowd soon gathered around him. So he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. We live in a day of the ready-made and the instant, don't we? And things have changed over the last 100 years. People here in this room know how much they've changed. If you want to heat up some food now, you don't even have to cook it, right? You just throw it in a microwave. And it's unhealthy, but you can do it. Or if you don't even want to do that, you can just get in your car and go and get a burger from drive-thru. It's made for you, right? If you want to get groceries, there's things that you can buy that you have to cut yourself, and there's pre-cut, and there's pre-washed, and there's pre-packaged, and everything you need is ready to go. Well, for farmers and sowers, life moves at a different pace, doesn't it? Even for gardeners. You could buy a ready-made tree or a shrub, and you just stick it in the ground, and it's already blooming. Or some people do the hard work. They get the seeds. And so they're in it for the long haul. They're there for the patient approach. I think in particular, you know, about two uncles and an aunt of mine that lived in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, when I was in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And we would drive out yearly, sometimes twice a year, to see them. And they were brothers and a sister that lived together their entire life. The whole thing, farmers. And so we weren't used to it because we were city folk. But when we got there, there's an acreage and they had crab apple trees and it would be fun. There was boards along the soil and we'd run along the boards and try not to step on the soil. And we maybe didn't think of it as a vacation spot, but I respect what they did. And how long it took them to do it. You know, two of the uncles passed away in the 80s, and then the aunt lived until her mid-90s. And so they would get up early every morning and have a good breakfast and work hard all day. And I thought, there's lessons for us there. There's the sowers work hard. Well, the great teacher in the story, he's sowing seeds, isn't he, in verses 1 to 3. You can see it in your Bibles there. Jesus, he literally sits down in the boat, and He goes out to shore, and what is he doing when he's teaching? Well, he's sowing seeds. He's planting. And so it's ironic because he's saying a sower went out to sow seeds, and literally it's happening right there. The sower is sowing. And so first and foremost, the sower in this story is Jesus. And Matthew writes in Matthew 13:37, in another parable, he says, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed." And so he says, I am the farmer. First of all, I am. And we know that he is. And not only Jesus, but the Father and the Holy Spirit, they work in this role as well. In John 14, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you, the Spirit who leads you into all truth." And so the sower is God in three persons, right? Jesus is pleading to the Father. And the Father is sending the Spirit, and they're all leading us into truth. But if you notice in your Bibles, and you can look, from verses 1 to 23, in the parable we're looking at, Jesus actually never says in this parable that he's the sower. He leaves it open. And I think that's intentional because, yes, he's first and foremost the sower, but there's us as well. We're sowers too. And so in 1 Corinthians verse or chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says this. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, he says, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. And check it out. I planted the seed in your hearts. And Apollos watered it, but it was God who was making it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Maybe Paul was reading or knew the gospel and the story of Jesus right here. He says, you're the field. We're planting. And so not only is Christ the sower, so are we. And so if a good harvest happens by responding to the work of the sower, two thoughts for us. Two thoughts to make this practical. Number one, and they're both questions. Number one, we want to ask ourselves this spring, how am I responding to the sowers in my life right now? How am I responding to the sowers in my life right now? And maybe we don't talk about this enough. But who ministers to you? Who ministers to you regularly or even occasionally or even someone who comes into your path in the foyer or in life and speaks some word of truth to you, a little nugget of truth, even just a small thing? It doesn't have to be your pastors. Who is sowing into your life? And of course, there's the pastors and the teachers. Paul says there are the fivefold ministry, evangelists, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors. Of course, there's a calling. But everyone is actually a sower if you're a Christian. And so let's turn to John 9 for a bit here. John chapter 9, starting with verse, let's see. Let's start with verse 24. And this is a really good text, just a little emphasis point for us tonight. It's an interesting thing to think about, you know. This is the story about Jesus. He's healing a man born blind. This is a man born blind, and he's been blind his whole life. And you know the details. You know it, I'm sure, if you're a Christian. And it's funny, right? Because Jesus comes up to him, and he spits, and he wipes the saliva on his eyes in the mud, right? And he says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man goes wash, and he goes and washes, and he comes out seeing. And then what happens, right? Well, the people who see him seeing, they bring him to the Pharisees to get him checked out, these religious rulers. And so the Pharisees are asking him about what happened. What happened? Who did this? How did it happen? And the guy is just really simply, he starts sowing seeds. And so you can see this here. Look at even in verse 11. He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. And so this is interesting. This is a blind man, a formerly blind. He's a beggar, but he's speaking truth to these people that really need it. He's sowing seeds, and all he's doing is just telling them what happened. Jesus touched me. He touched me, and now I can see, and they just won't hear it. And so they says, they took the man who had been blind and says, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus made the mud and healed him, the Pharisees asked him. And he's told them again, he put mud, and now I can see. And then they bring his parents in, and then they're not satisfied. And so look at verse 24. So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, God should get glory for this. Because we know this man was a sinner. I don't know whether he is a sinner, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see. But what did he do, they asked. And they've been asking him this already. And then, look, the man exclaimed, I told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple. We're disciples of Moses. And look at verse 30. "Why, that's strange," the man said. "He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from. We know," and he's teaching them here, he's sowing seeds, "we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it." He's saying Jesus isn't a sinner. Isn't that amazing? He's sowing seeds. He's sowing seeds. And the people listening say in verse 34, "You were born a total sinner, and you're trying to teach us?" And they cast him out of the synagogue. You know, this is really something here. However young or immature or uneducated or unappealing to us, God is putting sowers in our life who have something to teach us. And sometimes we may not want to hear them because we don't like them. We don't like what they have to say. We don't like the stage of life they're in. And it goes both ways, doesn't it? Young people can sometimes tune out the older people in their life who are sowers because they're not current or they're not relevant. And so they're tuning out nuggets of gold, seeds of truth that God is wanting to plant in their hearts. And I see it happen. And then in the other way, perhaps the more mature audience can tune out the younger people because they think they don't know much. They don't have much to say. This is a formerly blind beggar who has some real truth for these Pharisees, and they won't hear it. And so whether it's the uneducated tuning out the educated, or one race tuning out another race, or a different culture, God is putting sowers in our life all the time. And it could be someone who's brand new to the faith coming up to someone who's been in the faith for 50 years. And they just give you a little nugget of truth, and we have to check our hearts so that we don't tune them out and think, "Yeah, I know. Do you hear me tonight? How are we responding to the work of the sowers? Young and old, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, Caucasian, non-Caucasian, doesn't matter. There are sowers in our life, and God is placing them there to teach us. And then secondly, the other question is, how am I responsible as a sower? And this is very simply what happened here. With this man, you know, Jesus touches him, he spreads the mud, he can see, and all he does is just say what happened. Sometimes we get really worked up about evangelism and talking about the good news. I'm sure many of you have done a lifetime worth of that. And we never can stop either. We just tell people what Jesus has done for us, right? And we have to open our mouth. And the seeds just go out. And it's not our responsibility what people do with the seeds that we sow. We sow them. We sow them. And that's a good reminder as we approach Resurrection Week. A good harvest responds to the work of the sower. Secondly, a good harvest receives the word of the Lord. A good harvest receives the word of the Lord. And we're going back to Matthew 13, verses 4 to 13 here. It says, "As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock, and the seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant. Still others fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and 100 times as much as been planted. And his disciples came and asked him, 'Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?' And he replied," and this is really hard, "'You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken. This is why I use these parables, for they look but don't see, they hear but don't understand.'" For such a simple text, I think this is one of the hardest things to understand. And so what is a parable? There's over 60 parables in Matthew and Luke alone. 60 of these little short stories and examples, right? And so what is a parable? Well, it's Jesus using everyday things. And I bet he would use different things if he was here in Edmonton. He's using lamps and plants and soil and mud and fish, and he's using things that even an average person understands. And yet, when Jesus is talking to farmers, many of them tuned him out. And when he's talking to fishermen, I'm sure the disciples took a while, speaking their language, you know, they tuned him out too often. And so why? Well, I think it's because there's a sifting process that takes place when Jesus speaks. You know, there's some of the people as they come, the crowds, and Jesus knows their hearts. He's been healing people. He's been speaking. He's been casting out demons. He's been doing all these things. And you remember in John, when he's giving bread even, 5,000 loaves of bread plus, people are coming literally to be fed. And so Jesus is sifting the people. He's like, there's deeper things than this, right? And so what's happening is that the parable is just hard enough to understand that the people who aren't really there to press in and learn and receive eternal life, they think, oh, this is, and they back away. And the people that are really there because they're really hungry for something deeper and they really want to follow Jesus, well, they press in. And so even the parable, the use of the parable, it's sifting the crowds, isn't it? It's dividing the wheat and the chaff. The people that are hungry are coming, and the people that really are hungry for just their stomachs are leaving. And so Jesus is saying, you know, this is, the sifting is going to happen here. In a sense, it's challenging what kind of soils the people are made of. And so that's why he starts talking about it. He's testing the soil that these people are made of, what their hearts are made of. And he goes through the list, and we're going to go through it here. In Ontario, the soil is different than here. Has anybody lived in southern Ontario? Quite a few, really. Wow. I had no idea. And so if you've ever dug up the earth in southern Ontario, it's chances are you notice it's different than here. In Manitoba, for instance, it's black, it's earthy, it's rich. In Ontario, I find often it's clay. It's a reddish clay, and there's a lot of silt in it. And so I remember when people are coming, they're saying, my plants are dying, and it was rainy season, or it was a week of rain, and they get long rains there. We would always tell them, yeah, it's because the soil isn't draining. It's too much clay. There's too much clay. It's too hard. The soil isn't draining. And so when it rains, the tree's roots are drowning in the water. It's not going anywhere. So what we would say is you get some rocks, right? Get some gravel. Dig a hole first before you get the rocks. And then you lay down a bunch of rock in gravel in the hole and lay it down good so that there's a barrier. The water will drain. It'll go through, right? And then put the tree in on top and put mulch around it and all these things. But the whole point is that one size doesn't fit all for soil. There's different needs for different soils, just like we have different needs in our hearts. And we have to discern what our needs are continually. Because one harvest isn't enough. You want to produce crops year after year after year. And so Jesus goes through the list. Number one, he says in Matthew 13:4, as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them. I'm calling this the in one ear and out the other soil. In one ear and out the other, men in the room. I know something about our type. It's that sometimes if you're watching a game, you're focused on your paperwork, you're doing whatever it is, not all men, but many of us tend to have a one-track mind. And I think there are a few walls more impenetrable than that. So I'll be watching hockey or watching sports, and my poor wife will be trying to tell me something. Karsten. She'll tell me or ask me a question, and I won't even know. And it's not that I'm trying to ignore her. It's just, it's hard. We can't multitask. Maybe can any men multitask here really well? Can any men, is someone good at this? Please do raise your hand so I can see. No hands raised. In one ear and out the other. Well, this is the kind of soil we're talking about. And so in Jesus's time, they didn't have fences neatly dividing off corners of land and sections of land like we do here. There was just landmark stones placed at corners. And there was paths that ran through the fields. And so if a sower was going out, sowing seeds generously, lots would fall on the path. The problem is the path is rock hard. It's hard, and so it's not going in. The seed is not going into the soil. And so the birds would come and snatch it up, as Jesus says here. And so Jesus is saying to these crowds, he's saying, listen, listen and take watch and take note of your heart and mind if you're tuning out the word of God. If you're tuning it out entirely or even just for a season, even just for a season, take note if it's not going in, if it's going in one ear and out the other, take note and watch and pray because the enemy is prowling around. And 1 Peter writes about this, you know. This is why Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 15 in your Bibles, verse 15. And this is a quote from Isaiah. It says, for the hearts of these people are hard, and their ears can't hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes can't see, and their ears can't hear, and their hearts can't understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. It's easy for us as Christians to tune out this kind of soil, because we've made the first step. We've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, right? But isn't it possible for a season to become hard ourselves? And not even just, it could be even just a certain topic that God is speaking to us and we think, I don't want to hear it. Or I know all about this. I don't need to hear it. I've heard this message so many, I don't need to. Jesus would say, take watch. Don't let the enemy come and steal that word. It's meant to sink. It's meant to sink into your heart. And so what can harden our hearts? Well, there's many things. Wounds and hurts from people can harden our hearts. Does anybody know someone who stopped attending church because someone hurt them? That can lead to hardness. Tragedies in our life and silence if we pray and God isn't speaking, that can lead to hardness. Unmet expectations and sin. Sin certainly hardens our hearts. And of course, the attack of the devil and many more things. Is it sinking in? Lord, let the word sink in today. Let it sink in deep again and again. Because some human hearts are like hardened paths. Secondly, Jesus looks at the rocky soil. Verses 5 and 6. He says, other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprout quickly because the soil is shallow, but the plants soon wilt under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. If you've lived in southern Ontario, you know that the weather in the summer is balmy, to say the least. And it's amazing, actually. It can get so hot because it's still Canada, but it gets really hot. It gets really, really hot. And I remember in July working in a greenhouse, they closed the greenhouse for 3 days because the Celsius temperature was 40 degrees, 38 to 40 degrees Celsius. And so the plants, everything had to be brought indoors, and no one's going out to get plants on a 40-degree day. That's really something. Maybe there's a few days like that in Edmonton every now and then. I'm not sure. But this is common there, and it's humid, and it's hot. Well, what happens to plants when it's that hot? If the roots don't go deep, and if there's not a ton of moisture being poured onto the plants constantly, and boy, the soil dries up quick, the plants will die. And you see it, the ground starts cracking, right? It starts cracking, big cracks form, and the plant starts to get that brown wilting, the brown leaves. They're dying because there's no roots and there's no moisture. And so Jesus is picking up on this, and he's talking about this very thing here, you know. I think sometimes as Christians, we can respond to teaching because of something external, but not because of the gospel itself. If you're attending church because it's someone you know is attending, if that person stops attending, you might too. If you're coming forward for an altar call because of the lights and the music and because of the charismatic movement of the speaker, if those things are gone, you might not come forward. If it's just a personality that you only listen to hear the word of God, and I'm sure many of us, this is not us in this room, but it could be that we only listen to the word when it's spoken with eloquence and we tune out the simple truth and neglect the simple things. And so I think what Jesus is saying is he knew the people who were coming for miracles and for bread and for to hear his charismatic way of teaching. But when it came to the rubber meeting the road, suffering coming, persecution, he knew they would leave because their roots weren't deep, right? So in Romans 5, And we'll turn there. Romans 5, verse 3. I think it tells us why suffering has such a part to play in our lives. As we are the soil that God is cultivating. Romans 5, verse 3 is page 860. Paul says this, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop what? Endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. In the Bridge Young Adults, we spend a good amount of time on this text. The young adults really ate this up, talking about this. Because what Paul is saying here is that suffering has a purpose sometimes, right? Suffering actually develops deep roots, endurance. And endurance, if we make it through and we stay faithful to God, produces something else. It produces character. And why is character so important? Because character is proof. It's a proof of salvation. It's a proof that we're saved. It's a proof that God is working in us. It strengthens our hope of salvation. We see tangible evidence through our suffering, through perseverance, through character, that God is changing us. And that's how we grow deep roots. Rocky soil and rocky hearts receive the word for a time, but not when the heat hits. That doesn't last. Jesus wants us to cultivate deep roots because some human hearts are like rocky soils. Thirdly, Jesus is talking about the soil occupied by thorns. And that's verse 7 in Matthew 13. Jesus says, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. A few months ago, a West Edmonton mall, they had the Edmonton Oilers doing an autograph session. Did anybody make it there? It's probably for the best, because I saw pictures of this event on Facebook. This mall, I've never seen anything like this before. This mall, just for lining up to meet one of the players, our star player, Connor McDavid, the line was going around the ship, you know, the section of the mall, going all the way around and out the other and back up the bridge down the other end. And that was for one player, and every player on the team was in the mall. I would hazard to guess that there was lots, who drove there that day trying to get a parking spot and said, too much competition. I'm not going to find a spot. And they might have drove around for half an hour, and maybe their poor kids left disappointed because they really wanted the autograph. I'm not going because I'm a grown man, and this is for kids. We should let the kids get the autograph. But some grown men go, and they try to sell the jerseys, and the Lord have mercy on them. This is for children. But if they're trying to find a spot and there's too much competition, they're not going to be able to do what they intend to do. They're not going to be able to get a spot and get in and get out. Maybe someone just wanted to go and buy a gift, and they can't get the gift because the Oilers are there. Well, Jesus is talking about seeds sprouting on soil where there's already occupied plants. There's competition. There's something already there. It's in the soil before the seeds are planted. And so Jesus is saying, you got to watch out for competing things in your heart that can kill what God is intending to do. And it's interesting, right? Because if you look in verse 7 there, it says, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. It doesn't say that these tender plants die. Actually, from the Greek, it looks like as if they survive. They continue to live. But there's no grain. There's no fruit. They can't grow. And so they're stifled. There's potential there, but they never reach their full potential. They're stifled. It's not fruitful. And perhaps more than the other two soils, this really speaks to Christians too. Competing things. In Matthew 19, it reminds me of this story of the rich young ruler. Matthew 19, verse 16. You just turn over a few pages. Page 750. The rich man, a rich young man, someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, you keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. And Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is amazing. In verse 20, I mean, this is profound. This person says, I've obeyed all these. I can't say that. This person says, I got you there. If I was Jesus, I'd be, excuse me? What else must I do? Give me more work, Lord. I'm ready. And Jesus says in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, and this is the key, isn't it? Perfection is how we receive God's approval, and we can't be. Jesus is. We receive him. He says, go and sell everything. Give your money to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And the young man heard this. He went away sad, for he had many possessions. Daily, I feel the strain of things competing with God. And maybe you do too. And so this man, he's right there. He's so close, right? He's so close. He's knocking on the door of heaven. He's saying, I'm ready. I've been doing everything. And Jesus says, there's one other thing. And right there, you see there's a thorn. That's a really big thorn. And it's his wealth. And Jesus says, you got to cut that weed out if you want to enter. And the man is not willing. There's a competition. Someone took his parking spot. And the word of God can't grow any farther. It's stifled. There's a limit on how much it can grow. And so whatever it is, Jesus lists money and worries as two of the things when he explains this. Tilling the soil of our hearts this spring, it means looking at the competing desires, and they're there. And saying, Lord, let's get the weeder out. And let's rip these things out. Daily, things try to hinder me from spending time with the Lord in the morning. Daily, things try to hinder my prayer life. Daily, things try to hinder what I know I need to do to be obedient. God, give us grace. Clear a path for us, because there's hope. There's hope, and this is the third point, the fourth type of soil. A good harvest responds to the work of the sower. A good harvest receives the word of the Lord. And thirdly, a good harvest reaps an eternal reward. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 8. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear, listen and understand. Well, this is good news, isn't it? Because God is the sower, and I'm telling you, he's able to till our hearts again. Till our hearts again and make us ready to receive and be good soil. He renews us. And this is a great reminder, you know. Look what Jesus says there in verse 8 and 9. There's three numbers listed. 30, 60, and 100 times as much. Well, what's that about? I think it's there intentionally, and a lot of people do when they're talking about this text. I think what he's talking about here is the goal. The goal of the seed isn't just to start new life, and it's not even to continue new life. You know, the goal isn't just to get into the ground, to become a Christian. The goal isn't even to grow a bit, to become like the seeds growing in thorns. It's to produce fruit. It's to produce fruit. And so he lists 30, 60, 100 times as much, and every disciple is different, aren't we? My capacity for fruit is probably different than many of yours. And vice versa, our capacities are different, and we don't know. All God is asking of us is to produce fruit. Maybe you're 100, maybe you're 60, maybe you're 30. But whatever it is, there's a place, that potential that God has for us to produce much fruit. And many of us have been producing fruit all our life. But there's more still. If you're here, there's more fruit, isn't there, to produce. The goal is fruitfulness. And it's about you and I being faithful, as Pastor Jason was saying. That God's faithfulness will cultivate in us a heart that's faithful and fruitful. And so, as we close on this thing, reaping an eternal reward as a good harvest, let's turn to Luke. Luke 8:15. One verse as we close our time together tonight. The same parable is repeated from a different vantage point, and this is coming through the Gospel of Luke here. And I love this. I love this. Verse 15, Jesus says, and the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. What stands out to you there? For me, it's one word. There's lots, but it's one word. It's that word patiently. Patiently. Good hearts hear the word and they respond to the sower. Good hearts cling to it and they receive the word. And good hearts patiently, patiently, day after day after day, with deep roots, without competition, with sensitivity, they receive the word and they reap an eternal reward. And this is a lifetime pursuit, isn't it? Friends who've been around a lot longer than me, this is a lifetime pursuit, isn't it? And boy, the soil has to be tilled again and again and again and again. Make it ready for what God wants to yield in you. Not just in the spring, but year round, that we might yield a good harvest. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to yield much fruit. You're the gardener, you're the vine dresser, or the Father is working. Lord, we want to open our hearts to you again and again, that you would till the soil in here. Make us ready to receive your word, God. Whatever it is you would have us to do to be fruitful in this season of ministry and life, Lord, make it so, Father. It might just be us, if we have a vehicle, driving someone where they need to go. It could be us sending out invites for the sake of the world. It could be communicating the gospel. It could be tithing more. It could be opening our house up to people. It could be reaching out to people we never talked to. It could be anything. It could be serving in ministry. It could be living with integrity more than we have. Lord, produce fruit in us, Jesus. Make us good soil, a good harvest, that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.